What is going on, ladies and gentlemen of the podcast? So, CES is going on all this week. And there's been some, like I was reading up last night on it a little bit. There's been some pretty cool stuff so far, some stuff that's really grabbed my attention. Samsung's working with what's called micro LED. Which, you know, like the LED, the OLED, the OLED displays and all that are really like the way to go with the TV now. Like my TV's LED 4K. They have 8K out now. 8K is becoming like mainstream now. 1080p is probably pretty much like gone the way the dinosaurs has at this point. I think I picked my 4K TV up for, tripping myself up on my words, for like, I think $250 out the door. I mean, it was ridiculously cheap, and it's like a 55 inch or 50 inch or something like that, and it's really thin bezel on it, and I really like the TV. I use it primarily for like gaming and YouTube stuff and Netflix and all of that. But 8K technology coming out, and Samsung working on micro LED, which they can come in all, like those TVs can come in all shapes and sizes. They call it a window. And it's really a test thing right now. Like the technology is really, really new. But what they're going to be able to do with it, they're going to be able to make them even thinner. They're going to be able to make them bendable and just all that stuff. So pretty much just roll your TV up and take it with you is pretty much what they're going for, is what's coming to the market soon. Like a lot of things that happen at CES are pretty much already in the can to come to the market. So everything is there. There's new laptops displayed that looked really good, like a lot of gaming laptops and stuff. It looked really good. As you may or may not be aware, I am in the market for a new laptop for the podcast / gaming. My laptop I normally do the podcast on finally gave up the ghost. That was just being super slow. It was acting weird. I knew it was coming. It's been old. It's like 6-year-old laptop. And, it finally ate it. So, now I'm without a laptop. Now I'm back to just doing all this on my mobile, on my phone. And, I don't know. There's a lot of crazy stuff. Like LG showed off a computer monitor, a 49 inch computer monitor. No price on it, but I was like, yeah, I think I need that. Like, I don't know where I would put it, but I think I need it. So the very interesting things that are coming out of there. I forgot what it's called. But it's got Alexa on it. All you do is provide speakers for it. So you like, you plug it into like a 3.5 millimeter audio jack or something like that. And, it makes it an Alexa able device. I was like, yeah, you know, that's kind of cool. But just a lot of cool stuff. Like I have a ton of reading to do. Like I said, I just kind of glanced over some of the stuff last night. I definitely want to look at the computers and see exactly what's what. Cause I plan here relatively soon, next couple of months to go out and actually purchase a new computer. I've been looking at like Alienware's, I've been looking at Dell's, I've been looking at, some Asus stuff. I've been looking at, some HP stuff. I've been out of the market for a while. I really have. And I really don't know what's what anymore. So I really got to acclimate myself back to the market before I just jump in and get locked into something for a little while. Because it's not like, oh, hey, you know, yeah, I run a podcast and let's just go out and buy a whole bunch of computers. It doesn't really work like that. Like there's software I like to use and stuff like that. And I want to make sure it's going to be able to run the software and run it well, and it's going to do everything I need it to do and then some. So because I do plan on eventually expanding the podcast and all of that good stuff, which, talking about the podcast, I just had an Instagram alert pop up on my phone, which you can follow me at Instagram or on Instagram at crushdown42. The Facebook page for the podcast now has an official URL, which is crazy. Like it popped up, I checked on it and it popped up and I was like, holy crap. Like I have an official URL for the podcast Facebook page, which is facebook.com/realnerdalert. That's facebook.com/realnerdalert. So you can come over there, leave me messages, say, hey, what's up? Say, hey, you suck. Whatever you want. But, I do have like episode library posted over there and all that stuff. And, I plan on doing like once I get like the whole computer situation, taken care of, I do plan on doing like a multi platform experience type deal. Instagram, I post like some random stuff over on Instagram. I've been like on a big Gary V kick lately for whatever reason, like, I don't know, to get me motivated or something. But I've been posting like kind of stuff like that over there. As well as like just photos going on, things going on behind the scenes, picture of my setup, stuff like that. And that's how I plan on really using Instagram in that manner of like, just like kind of a behind the scenes or BTS type deal with Instagram. Facebook would be more like interacting with each other and building a community over there. Obviously here on Anchor would be the podcast, the main meat and potatoes of it all. And, I don't know. It's like, I'm trying to do a multi-prong attack, I guess you would say. Like I advertise a lot on Facebook. I advertise a lot on Instagram, and Instagram's actually been working pretty well. Like Facebook's been starting to give me a good return, but Instagram's been giving me a really good return on everything. So I've been like listening to podcasts and looking up everything I can on like how to promote your podcast and do this and that. And then like small business, micro business type deals. Cause this really is, I wouldn't even call this a small business right now. I don't think it's big enough to be considered a small business. I would call it more of like a micro business, kind of like how you have micro breweries. I would call this a micro business. I started the podcast as a hobby, and then it started growing, and I started like getting more and more excited about it, and it started growing more, and then you know, just a snowball thing. But I'm very much addicted to working, like very much addicted to working. Anyone that knows me knows that. If I don't have something to do, to occupy my time, if I'm not working, that I go stir crazy. I go bored. So the two years and some change I went without a job, like I was on unemployment and all that, couldn't find a job. They were horrible. They were absolute torture for me. So people nowadays, like they've started to notice a shift in me. Like I'd say probably the last like 3 weeks started really notice a shift in me, and like, I'm more laid back. I'm more just kind of, you know, mellowed out. And they're like, man, what's going on? I'm like, it's podcast, man. It's this whole social media thing. I'm like, I'm pouring a ton of time and energy and effort and all this and hard work into doing this, into growing it and, you know, seeing it start to become something. And I'm like, man, you know, it's like working a second job and then some. Like, it's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of time. It's a lot of dedication. It's a lot of patience. And I'm like, man, you know, I can't wait. Like, I can't wait. Like, I'm excited. Like, not that I can't wait and just wish it would blow up. I can't wait because I'm excited. I'm excited for what the future holds. Like, one of those just like, let me just peek into the future to see what happens. But it doesn't work that way. Like the key to all this, the key to being successful in life in general, not just social media, is time, patience, and hard work. Like it takes a long time. You got to have a lot of patience, and you got to work really, really hard to make something happen. I've said it before that this is kind of my roundabout way into getting into broadcast. Like it's kind of the back side door type deal. But it really is like, This is something I do five, six, maybe seven days a week. Typically five, though. Sometimes I throw in super secret bonus episodes like I did on Saturday. And, You know, typically I try to save Sunday for family time, like try to find that whole work-life balance because I work a regular job and then I do this and I don't really get paid for this. Like it's not there yet. Like it's not there yet. It hasn't grown to that point. Maybe it will someday. Like it'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. Be like, oh, hey, you know, I want to go out and get a new computer. Bam. New computer's here. not really have to worry about it or try to figure it out or scrape stuff up to try and get something that will work for what I need it to. Or be, hey, you know, I'm doing a giveaway, like da da da, follow me over here, you know, do like a Facebook Live giveaway or type deal or something. Like that's all like future stuff. That's way, way down the road. It's probably not even this year. Like the people that say, oh, you know, I started this small business or this micro business and in 2 years I want to be a millionaire. I'm like, you've already failed. Like that statement right there, you've already failed. You're already done. Like it's not gonna happen for you. Like you gotta think like 5, 6, 7, 8 years down the road. And I'm like, you know, I don't know, it's one of these things that I started this thing as a hobby and it'll always be like have that special spot, but I'm like, man, you know, it's starting to pick up steam. It's starting to have a little bit of a following behind it, a little bit of a community push. And it's awesome. It's awesome to think that, you know, you can go out and create something and people actually enjoy it and all of that. Because I did do the YouTube thing. I did the YouTube thing for on and off for a year. Like I didn't take it very seriously though. I was like, eh, you know, I'm just playing like gameplay or whatever. This and that. And was like, wow, you know, it doesn't really do good because I uploaded everything. Like there was no editing, there was no polish, no whiz bang on it. And I uploaded everything. Like everything I did. Videos were like 4 or 5 hours long. Like people don't want to watch that. And I didn't really pay attention to my audience, and I learned a lot from that whole implosion of that whole, like, oh, I'm going to go do YouTube. But I was attracted to the money of YouTube too. That was the thing. I was like, man, you know, you can make so much money and I'm going to go out and get a GTR and all this stuff. And I'm like, you know, just, you can't do it for the money. You got to do it because you love it. And in podcasting, radio, that's what I love. So, that's why I'm here. That's like my origin story. Like every superhero, every villain has an origin story of some kind. While we're on the subject of origin stories, I have heard rumblings about the new Joker movie. The one with Joaquin Phoenix in it playing the Joker. It's the whole Joker's backstory of like why the Joker is the way he is up until the whole like acid thing, and he actually, you know, takes the form that we know as a Joker. I've heard rumblings. I haven't really paid too much attention to him because I'm just like, you know, I really want that movie to come out. I really want to see that movie. I don't really want to play into the whole potential spoilers and all that. Like, I am a huge, huge Joker fan. Like, sometimes the Joker makes absolute sense in real life. Like, I'm like, man, you know, you grow up wanting to be Batman, but you get to be an adult, and then you realize the Joker just makes more sense. I'm like, hey, you know, yeah, okay, you know, I get it. I think that's why I like Dark Knight so much, is because Heath Ledger's Joker. And a lot of people that are close to this project with the Joaquin Phoenix Joker are like, dude, he's on par, if not better. Like, this is probably the best Joker we've ever had. And I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, Heath Ledger nailed it. Like, I'm like, that is, like, I grew up, I remember going to the movie theater as a kid and seeing the Jack Nicholson version. Beetlejuice. Michael Keaton. The Michael Keaton version. Yeah, that's how my brain works. I'm like, oh, what other roles are you playing? Oh, Beetlejuice, okay. The Michael Keaton version of Batman. And I remember going and seeing that in the 90s when it came out, when it was in the theaters. And I was like, okay, you know, that's okay. But I'm like, I don't know. Like, I didn't get into it as a kid. Like, that wasn't what I was reading. I was reading Marvel comics. I wasn't reading Batman. I wasn't reading Superman. Subsequently, I'm wearing a Superman shirt right now. But I'm like, you know, you got to have yin and yang. You got to have both. Like, you got to have them balance each other out, kind of. A little bit of friendly competition, stuff like that. But man, like, the whole Dark Knight trilogy, like Batman Begins, The Dark Knight, and The Dark Knight Rises. Those are some really good films. Those are some really good Batman films. They really rebooted the series with them. I'm just sick of, like, Superman always being rebooted. I'm sick of Batman always being rebooted. Like, okay, we get it. You know, his parents died. Like, okay, you know, and he fell down the well, and there's bats, and that's why he became Batman, because he's so terrified of bats. Do some other backstories. I don't know, like, Dark Knight was just, like, so good to me. It had Joker in it, had Two-Face in it, which we've seen Harvey Dent become Two-Face and realize it was Joker's fault and this and that, and I'm like, man, like, there was some good story in that. And that's kind of why I go see movies. Like, I want that escape, that kind of escapism. I want that story that's going to really draw me in and, like, you know, make me want to stay, make me want to fall in love with it. That's why I talk about Wonder Woman so much, because it was another DC film that really made me fall in love with it. Like, I never read a Wonder Woman comic at any point in my life. Like, I had no idea Wonder Woman's story, this or that. And I was like, wow, you know, like, holy crap. Like, that's awesome. Like, I talked to a lot of DC fans and stuff like that. And they're like, you know, what'd you think about, you know, being a Marvel fanboy, what'd you think about Wonder Woman? And I'm like, it's great. Like, I loved it. I've seen it a couple of times. When it was available, you know, for home box office, I went and watched it a couple more times just because I thought it was so good. And there was things I missed every time that I didn't catch the previous time I watched it. I had to watch it like 4 or 5 times. And I was like, it was beautiful. They had the right formula. And then they put out Justice League. And Justice League was just hot garbage. Even hardcore DC fans that I know are like, no, Justice League was hot garbage. Like, they really screwed the pooch on that one. And, Aquaman's out. I've heard a lot of good and great things about the movie. Like, it's very beautiful. I'm like, yeah, okay, you know, it's good to look at. And I think they have the perfect casting for Aquaman. I'm like, but how's the story? Like, that's my thing. Does it really pull you in? Does it really make you want to be in that world? Like, that's so key when I go and see a movie. So, I don't know. Might try to see it this weekend. This past weekend was kind of all jacked up and all that. And so, I don't know. Like, might load the kid up and, you know, drag her along, because she's always complaining that she never gets to go anywhere, but she's always so busy, man. She's always going places. Might go try to see Aquaman, have like a little family date night or something. But man, I'm actually looking forward to going and seeing that film. You know, being that it's a DC product, it's a DCEU product. DCEU being DC Entertainment Universe. And I'm such a Marvel fanboy, like, I'm actually excited to go see Aquaman, because I don't know anything about Aquaman. Like, I remember 80s Aquaman, you know, growing up as a kid, I remember 80s Aquaman. And 80s Aquaman was nothing to write home about. So I'm like, I'm curious to see how they can take my version of Aquaman I have in my head and how they can make him awesome. Because the version of Aquaman I have in my head just absolutely sucked. Like, they should have never had that. And I tell DC guys that all the time, and they're like, oh, you don't know, you're just bashing, you're a Marvel guy. I'm like, no, really, I'm like, that Aquaman was horrible. Like, that Aquaman, I could not stand that Aquaman. So, I really want to see the film. Really make an opinion for myself, but I got a feeling, like, everything that people have told me about it, as spoiler-free as possible, I think I'm going to love it. I think it's going to be another film that I fall in love with. I hope so, man. I hope so. I hope this film saves DC with their movies, their DCEU. I really do, because they had movies in the pipeline after this, and they canceled them all. Like, after Justice League, they were working on multiple projects. Aquaman was almost done at that point, and everything that was after Aquaman, they canceled. Like, they canceled all those projects. So really, Aquaman is going to be the one that saves, that is the make or break for the DCEU, but it's doing phenomenally well in the box office, like really well. Like, it's close, if not now, at $1 billion globally, so, which would be the third film in the DCEU franchise, or universe, or realm, or whatever you want to call it. To do it. The other two were The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises. Those are the first two DCEU films to hit $1 billion globally. And to think that Aquaman's only in its third week of release, which I'll have to look the numbers up here real quick because I'm curious to see what it's done. I know it's close. I know it's taken down Wonder Woman. I know it's taken down Justice League. So it's definitely in that number two spot for global revenue. But I'm curious. I'm curious to see if it's hit $1 billion yet. So, just checked on it. And Aquaman has done $940 million globally. So, I actually got dethroned from being the number one movie in the world because Bumblebee opened up in China. And China, for whatever reason, goes absolutely crazy. They go absolutely ape crap over Transformers. I don't get it. I'd love to check that film out because Bumblebee is one of my favorite characters. One of my biggest gripes about Transformers is that Bumblebee has not been a VW Beetle. He's been a Chevy Camaro. I'm like, that's not, like, I get it. You're trying to promote the product or whatnot and this and that. And I had the very distinct pleasure and honor to work on the first film with all the cars. And it's one of those things that I see it and I'm just like, it's not that. Like, I even knew Bumblebee, like, obviously working on that, before the film comes out, you sign an NDA, like a non-disclosure agreement. Like, if you talk about it, you're getting the crap sued out of you. Like, that's it. We'll absolutely own everything and then some. So I couldn't say anything, but when the film finally came out, you know, NDA was released and I could talk about the film and all that. My biggest gripe was, I'm like, oh, I hate that. I hate it. 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 Like, if you watch the first film where he's pulling up in the Camaro, like, you first see the Camaro and all that, there's no brakes on that car. Like, they're like, no brake calipers whatsoever. So, like, all the rolling shots, I'm like, yeah, those were interesting. Like, those were interesting to get those pulled off because that's actually the concept car. And I'm like, yeah, like, you wouldn't want to ride in that thing. Like, the thing is not comfortable. It has no suspension under it. It looks pretty. That's what it's meant to do. It looks pretty. It's like the model that's not too smart. It looks real pretty, but not something you'd really want to bring home, you know? Like, maybe for a little bit of fun, but not something you would want to have long term. Like the old Camaro, I'm like, man, that car was like, it looks good, it sounds good, but that car deep down inside is such a piece of hunk of junk. Like, I would not touch that with a 30-foot pole if it was mine. Like, the things we had to do in order to make those cars function and look good for film is completely different than something you would take to an auto show or something that you would want to own. And I go back and I watch that film. I'm like, oh, I can't stand that. And, you know, I pick all these things out. Like, a lot of us that worked on those cars grew up on Transformers, grew up on the toys, grew up on the cartoons and all of that. So, you know, we had a chance to, they were like, hey, we have this idea for Barricade, but we really don't know what Barricade should be. Like, how should Barricade look? And we're like, we got it. Just leave it to us. We got it. We got this one. So we're like, Mustang, it's gotta be this, it's gotta be that, you know, gotta do these little nods, because he's Decepticon, he's a bad guy. Depending on how you look at it. If you're an Autobot fan, Decepticons are bad guys. If you're a Decepticon fan, then Autobots are bad guys. But I'm like, we got this, and the guys are like, we totally got this. So there's like to enforce and enslave Rodan instead of to protect and serve. Like he's not a good guy. And you know, seeing like everything on set was different, was totally different, because I've never seen a movie get made before. So like all these explosions and all these effects going off and all this, because it's Jerry Bruckheimer film, so there's like random dirt just blowing up for no reason. But like seeing all that, and you're like, wow, you know, that's kind of like how it is, right? And like we did all this work and all this on those cars, and I'm like, yeah, you know, we'll see the movie when it comes out. And seeing it and seeing like the first one transforming, I'm like, oh my God, like this is awesome. Like, holy crap. And like it was crazy, like everything we had to do and everything we had to deal with. And like so badly wanting to come home. Like, how was your day? I'm like, I really can't tell you. Like, it's not one of those, oh, I can't tell you, I don't want to tell you. I literally can't tell you or I'm going to be sued. So once that NDA got waived, that was awesome. Like everything just came out. It was like diarrhea of the mouth. Just blah. And I'm like, this. I'm like, oh my God, we did this, and this was shot here, and this was shot here, and we did this, and then this happened, and then this chasing, like, some of the stuff they even shot was just never made the film. And I'm like, man, it would have been so cool if it would have made it. But a very, very interesting time, like, working on that. That was my first time I got to do anything with movies, and I was like, oh, this is going to be my big break. And it's like, nope, you're going to just kind of make sure the cars are okay and all of that. And just absolutely crazy time. Like, that was a fun time. It was a crazy time, but man, I want to see Bumblebee. I really do. Like, out of all the Transformers, he's my favorite. So I'm like, you know, he's not a Camaro, he's a bug, he's this and that. And to see that in his like origin movie, this is how like Bumblebee became Bumblebee. Of like when he first got here and all this, and he's a bug. I was like, well, like as soon as I seen it in trailer, I was like, they did it right. Like, he's a bug. Like, that's how he's supposed to be. He's supposed to be a bug. He's supposed to be a beetle, and he's supposed to be a yellow beetle. Like, that's that. And I quickly got told by the wife, no, you know, you're being over analytical. I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, as a fan, I want things right. Like, if you're doing an origin story, you're gonna do it right. And I've heard okay things, I've heard not okay things about the film, and I'm like, you know, I just I'll go check it out, make a judgment for myself, but I don't know, I'll probably enjoy it just because I'm a fan. Like, it's my favorite guy out of the Transformers. Like, I'm a fan, and I'm just absolutely crazy. So, segueing from Transformers to wrestling, I guess the Raw episode that is airing tonight, and of course, Raw is always live. SmackDown's live now, too. Hogan's coming back to pay tribute to Mean Gene, which was an announcer from, like, the Golden Age of wrestling. But, man, he was a voice of my childhood. Like, growing up, you put him on TV, and you knew what time it was. You knew what you were watching. You knew what someone was watching as soon as you heard him. Like, he's very iconic. And I'm like, man, you know, there goes another huge part of my childhood. Like, lost Stan Lee, now lost quite literally the voice of my childhood. Like, I remember being grounded in my room, putting my ear up against the wall that the TV was on, and listening to what was going on in wrestling just by his announcing. And he did announcements, he did interviews, he got Mean Gene from Macho Man, and like, man, that was a great time in wrestling. Not like the hot garbage they shovel into us now. Attitude Era was great. And now I'm just like, you know, I'm not feeling it. Like, I'm not feeling the new guys. I'm not feeling just, I don't know. Like, the last one I really got behind was John Cena. And I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about it. Like, we went a couple years ago and seen a SmackDown Live event. When they came here to Michigan, to Detroit, they were at Joe Louis Arena when that was still going. Before the whole Little Caesars Arena was finished getting built. And it was a very awesome time. It was a very exciting time. And it was like a little bit, it was a little bit before Mania. So they had like the WrestleMania sign all set up and this and that. And I was like, dude, this is awesome. I've been to Mania. I was to WrestleMania when it was here in Detroit, when it was at Ford Field, and it was a freaking riot. Tickets were expensive as all hell, but it was a freaking riot. That's wrestling Super Bowl. Like, that is the big shebang. And I'm like, oh my God, like, this is crazy. It just absolutely blew my mind. But going to the SmackDown was pretty interesting. And got to see, I can't even think of his name now. Roman Reigns, like, he came down through the crowd and all that. And I'm like, man, you know, like, all the production that goes into it that you don't get to see. Of like, oh, hey, we got to do this. Hey, this, like, they have set changes and stuff and ring changes and this and that. And I'm like, this is interesting. Like, seeing this is interesting, to how everything works and how everything is like really, really quick. Because that was like right before they went live. That was still taping. And they're like, oh yeah, this, that, and other thing, and how the cameras are set up and all of this, just everything that goes on. I can't even remember. I think Big Show blasted one guy through a table. Mark Henry blasted another guy through a table. I mean, it's loud. It's loud in there. But very interesting. Very interesting to see the production at work. And I've always kind of been about that, like behind the scenes stuff and like that. So I want to go check a Raw episode out. Like, next time they come to town, go and check that out. I think that'd be really interesting to go and see. But, man, like, trying to just shake off all the rust from a day off and from the podcast and all this. And it's Monday, and it's doom and gloom outside, and ugh, just weather can't make up its mind. Like, it really can't. We're supposed to be having, like, ice storms and blizzards right now in Michigan, not 40 and 50 degree weather. Of like, oh, hey, yeah, just go ahead, take the doors and the top off the Jeep. But man, that's going to do it for me today, guys. If you want to check out my socials, hit me up on Facebook at facebook.com/realnerdalert. That is the official page for the podcast. Great way to interact with me and all that. As well as Instagram at crushdown42. Do some stuff over there as well. But until the next episode, guys, which hopefully will be tomorrow if I have more energy and motivation. Just like, ugh, I'm in a rut. I'm in a rut right now. I really am. I'm trying to shake it. I will talk to you in the next episode.